to speak some things about the power of the believer. When we started the services, Holy Spirit, thou art welcome. That's a beautiful song, isn't it? And when you start looking at the scriptures, especially the major prophets, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah, you find the signs of a false prophet. I just my own study this. Probably it's not even related with what I'm going to say. They prophesy of, and I'll give you three portions of scriptures if you want to study them when you go home. The study of no destruction. God says they lie. Then there will be no famine in the land. He says we'll have peace. God is with us. Prosperity. The bigger the synagogue, the more people, the greater the blessing. But this doesn't work like that. When you go home and you want to read some of the things that I said, Jeremiah 14:13-16, Jeremiah 3:1-25, and Jeremiah 23, the whole chapter. When we look in the church of God, I'm talking about as a group and as an individual. Every problem that we have, every problem, regardless of what it is the absence of the Holy Ghost. You think what I'm saying? Lack of faith, the Holy Spirit will lead us to have faith. Lack of believing in God, the Holy Spirit will lead us to all truth. Confusion and battles with doctrines is because of the lack of the Holy Spirit. Everything you can imagine, it's the lack of the Holy Spirit. In the individual life, my life and your life, when we have big problems and we think we are right, probably it's the lack of the Holy Spirit, because our problems are met by the power of the Holy Ghost. And I'd like to remind you that I believe in the last days the message was given. And that's a restoration back to the Acts 2 experience of the Pentecostal fathers. I'm not talking about Pentecostal denominations. You know, they make a mess out of it. Kind of an idea, the more you scream, the more spirit you got. I don't believe in that at all. Show me the conviction. Show me the power of God working in the individual life, and I'll let you know where the Holy Ghost is. Because we can, like it has been illustrated, sometimes people have such a joy and such a good thing. It's like a train, and they blow it up in the whistle, and the engine never moves. You know? That's what we do. When we face the scriptures, we know that the church of God started in the book of Acts. We know that. Now, there's a statement there, or there's a scriptural part which is called Pentecost. And the question is, what is Pentecost? I will move very slow, and I'll go to the Old Testament, come back to the New, and hoping that I can help somebody. Now, the term Pentecost comes from the Greek word Pentecosti. What's Pentecosti? Pentecoda means 50. Pentecosti is the 50th day. And looking through the scriptures, if you go to your Bible with me on Deuteronomy, the book of Deuteronomy means the Theronomio, Deuteros is the second, and then law. The book of Deuteronomy, the 16th chapter. Deuteronomy 16. If you look at the 16th chapter there, starting probably from the 9th verse, the scripture teaches us, 7 weeks shall thou number unto thee. Begin to number the 7th weeks from such time as thou beginnest to put the sickle in the corn. There were 7 weeks at the time, and these 7 weeks, 7 days per week, is 49. And the 50th was kind of a jubilee day. Now, as you continue reading, on the 11th verse now, he says, "And thou shalt rejoice before the Lord thy God, thou and thy son and thy daughter, and thy," he says, "man servant and maid servant, and the Levite that's within the gates, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widows that are among you, in the place which the Lord thy God hath chosen to place his name there." I like that because it forms now the shadow of Acts 2. And here includes the poor, includes a stranger. You know what's a stranger? That word stranger there that you read is a person or a proselyte that's not a Jew. I'm so thankful to God, isn't it? That he didn't restrict Pentecost to the Jew only because it was for the Gentile. It was for me and for you. And it's such a joy to read that. And sometimes we feel that the more spiritual or the more money you got, the more prestige you got, the better you are with God. That's not true. Because God included everybody, isn't it? The beggar in the street. I haven't put together some things that I want you to read. I'll have it next Sunday. And he says, "Now I tell you what you do," he says. He says, "And thy son and thy daughter," or the 11th verse. He says, "And thy manservant and thy maidservant," whatever you are. If you're a servant, that's the word slave. If you're a slave or anybody else, it's just the same rights. I kind of like that, isn't it? Seems to me that the scripture is teaching us equal rights somewhere. You know, the people don't want to face it. But there's no big people, there's not small. And he started explaining among them also the Levites, the ministers, are part of it. They're not the top of it. They're the servants of these people. And we continue there. You see, within thy gates, and the stranger. That stranger is not even a Jew. That's me and you, the proselytes. That's the Gentiles. You know what's our name in there? Literature about a Gentile, a dog. That's how they used to call us. You remember Jesus with that woman? He says, "Lord, even the dogs." You remember that? Then we have the fatherless. You know, that's the orphans. Then continues, he says, the widows. That they don't have anybody. Bring them in. I'm going to do something, form a shadow about that. It says that among you in the place which the Lord God have chosen, and that's where he put his name. God put his name where he wants to. And when you and I, we want to have the name of the Lord, let's don't be partial. Let's love everybody, regardless of what they are. Many times we think we are right, and then a few years later we find that we are wrong. So, we include everybody in the blessing of God. Don't think because somebody has an office in the church, God is blessing them more. No, that's not true. Because probably that's more responsibility and more judgment at the end. That's what it is, the final thing. So God put his name, and that name, there's no other name that's above heaven and earth or nothing else except the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the location of the name. Now, God gave that name. He says, "And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and thou shalt observe and do these statutes." It's good to think that sometimes where you have been, where God got you out from. You don't take everything for granted. We're so blind for what God has given us that we don't even appreciate what God has done in our lives. You know, blindness is a terrible thing. Satan is trying to fight me, to fight you, send us back to where we came out from, but there's another power pulling us and says, stay with it. We'll use instruments. We'll use friends that we had. We'll use relatives and so on. Every one of these things that pull us away from Jesus, if we don't watch them sooner or later, will cause destruction. Got to make sure that what God says, that's what we follow. Now, when you read this portion of Scriptures, especially on the 11th and the 12th verse, we see that it's a place that God have chosen. God have chosen something for me and for you. And in amongst us, there's the strangers. Isn't it a good thing to know that the bride of Christ consists of every nationality of the world? Do you know one of the things that the Jewish people cannot handle and they don't know what to do? Is the promise that Abraham was given. And then the people look at it, the Jewish people look at it, and they say, our father Abraham. You better don't say anything against Abraham to them, because they're going to scratch you. But if you watch the promise, and to thy seed all nations shall be blessed. Nobody's excluded. A-L-L. So the Jews look at that, it's our God, it's our Jehovah, it's our Messiah, it's our everything. They're total blind. Christ comes, goes to the cross, dies, raises up, and they're still looking for the Messiah. And they're the ones that crucify him. That's what amounts to. But God now is trying to teach us something here, that the poor and the stranger is there among them. Remember, among the Jewish people, we were the strangers. But God put us in the same circle. God is God. And look at you. And chosen, truth, God have chosen the people of Israel. And what happened? They become too familiar with God. Prosperity destroyed them. We have everything. We go to church. We got the synagogue. We got this. We got that. The rest of them, they are nothing but dogs. But God said the strangers are supposed to be in there. And many times you use that word stranger in the Old Testament, you find out God says, treat them as they are one like you are. You don't treat them in a different way, treat them like you are, he said. We see now in that celebration we have no big records of what they used to do. But to celebrate, they came out of sin, out of the world, out of Egypt. And God pulled them out, and now God wants to do something with them. God chosen these people. God provided them a prophet by the name Moses. God gave them everything that they needed. They still murmur. They still fuss. And that's a big example for us. But now the Christian church in the day of Pentecost, an anniversary of the 50th day, it says, just go there and wait until the days is fulfilled of Pentecost. And let's see what happened for a minute. The average person look at the Pentecostals and the only thing they think is somebody, you know, screaming and throwing chairs to each other and beating up each other and all these things, you know. And the other people feel they got the Holy Ghost because they do these things. But that's not true. I don't have any objection for anybody to cry, to scream and everything. But you better know what you scream about. Correct? If you don't, we're in insanity somewhere. Like the people, one time I was talking to my sister. My sister says, well, I go to the morning, they have a small group. She says, in our place, only about 30 people in Dallas. She says, the regular service has a few thousand there. He says, they have another building, he says, for the worship service. I says, what do they do at the worship service? Oh, he says, they have music and they raise their hands and worship God all the time. This is insanity. We have to know what we're worshiping about. We have to know what God has done for us. We have to stop and say, Lord, you delivered me out of Egypt. We have to stop and say, Lord, I was a stranger and you included me. All these things are great blessings that sometimes we go by and we forget them. Now, the Christian church at Pentecost is the anniversary of the Holy Spirit returning to the believer. Remember this. To the believer. Returns to me and to you. And in that time that you see there, when we see that Spirit return to the believers, we see that that Spirit of Christ enter in the believer. Now, people are confused. He says, Brother David, wait a minute, I want to ask you something. Was the Holy Ghost before the resurrection and all these things that happened before Jesus came or after Jesus came, before the crucifixion or the resurrection? I said, no. You know what the Scripture says on John 7, 36 to 39, listen to the 39th verse. But this speak he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given. These are believers. He says, you see, you don't have it. Wait. It's a time. What's the reason, Brother David? Because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So I'm going to point in a verse this morning and see some steps there of what happened for you and for me. This kind of a statement that was made about Jesus probably is subjected by many theologians. Something is wrong there. And you read commentaries, and the more you read sometimes, they come to that specific verse and then they bypass it. They don't make any comments at all. Just the next verse. Like it doesn't exist even. But now this tremendous manifestation of that divine power on the day of Pentecost marks the beginning of the church. Pentecost is the birthday of the church. That's the birthday. Now, Judas could not go to Pentecost. You know that? Because he was the devil to begin with. Jesus said that. So they had to elect one more to make them 12, 12 tribes of Israel, 12 disciples, and so on all the way down. Now in Acts 2:33, we're hitting a very key verse now that we're going to look for a minute. Acts 2:33 probably is like we will say, you drive the nail straight. All this commotion, all these people, rejoicing, act like drunks, speaking in unknown languages, and all these things that was going on. I shouldn't say speaking in unknown languages. They understood their languages, the people. Remember, if you really analyze it, he says, how come we hear them in our own dialect? You know, God's Spirit, you can speak in one, in your own language, and interpret it himself in the ears of somebody else. God has the power to do that. And today, the only thing that people do, come down and just repeat the word, hallelujah, 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 and you got it if you mix up your tongue. That's not the Holy Ghost, my friend. The Holy Ghost has the power when you glorify God for the people that they are from other tribes and nationalities to be able to understand what you're saying. Now, on that 33rd verse, we know that Peter stood up. And in the 32nd, he says, this Jesus have God raised up, whereof, he says, we are all witness. We're talking about the resurrection of Christ. We are a witness. Remember what we read a few minutes ago, because Jesus was not yet glorified. And you go to the 33rd verse, he says, therefore, being at the right hand of God, exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed for this which you now see and hear. You have one thing for sure, that the Holy Ghost was not given before until after the resurrection, that the Spirit came at Pentecost. Because that's the time that Jesus was glorified. Am I right? Now you say, Brother David, what do the people believe about the Holy Ghost? I believe there's a visitation of God in your life. Something happens to you. Oh, you say, I'm saved. I'm talking about giving you the power. That's why we see today the problem is the absence of the Holy Ghost. We try to reason things. We try to condemn people. We try to do this. We try to do that. But you see, when the Holy Ghost is there, if you read the function of it in John 16, you'll find out He will rebuke you. He will convict you from sin. The people can go on with no conviction anymore. Why? Because you have to make one more step closer. Lord, I don't know what it is, but I want what you have for me. Everything you got for me, I want it. It's so sensitive, friends, that Jesus said one word against it will never be forgiven, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Why? Because they glorify Christ in the believer now. Give you the power to go on. Look at your life. All of us have our ups and downs. What does this mean, Brother David? Jesus diagnosed that, and He says you need power. You need more of the Holy Ghost. And we go on with God, and things are happening all over, and we lose our temper. We do this, we do that, and fly our tongue sometimes. That's pretty mean. But God says, now you need more of the Holy Ghost. What's the evidence, Brother Dave, that I need more of the Holy Ghost? Look at yourself. And don't blame anybody else. Just close your eyes to everything else. Says, Lord, it's me, oh Lord. I'm in need of prayer. That's what it is. That's just me. God can use the pressures of the people around you to get out from what's in you so yourself can realize you have to get closer to God. We blame everybody else. We look at them and say, he's no good. I did that because he did that. There's no conditions with God. I did that because I needed more of the Holy Ghost. Correct? I did that, so I have nothing, no excuses. Or you say, probably my church did that. The promise is to an individual. If any man, I am the man, period. I am the man. And what the scripture says, come unto me. I go to Jesus. And what that means, the Spirit of Christ in the day of Pentecost enters in the believer to dwell in there and not to visit. We have lots of knowledge in the scriptures, but very little practice. We have lots of things that we claim, and our claims and practices don't match together sometimes. But God now looks at, by looking at this verse, He says now He's going to sit where? On the right hand of God. Remember, Christ is God in a human flesh. He created that body. God is a spirit. He make a body, and in Him dwelleth the fullness of the divine nature bodily. When Jesus died at Calvary, wasn't another individual, was God at Calvary. Was God redeeming you, God redeeming me? Was God Himself. So then what's the right hand? The right hand is an expression, it's a spiritual figure of an active power. What's the kings of the world? Anything that's higher than Him goes to the right hand side. If it's an ambassador or something, stay on the left. Look at our English expression. He's my right-hand man. You heard that before? That means everything I do, that's it. That's Him. So you don't look for 3-4 gods. You look for one God only. Jehovah God manifests His power in that body of Jesus Christ. And now that body was resurrected. The sacrifice was completed. And God speaks back to the church. He says, now that sacrifice was accepted by me, and I'm sending the Spirit of the resurrected Christ in the believer. Don't you dare say one word against it, He says. We'll never be forgiven. What is it? It's the power of the resurrected Christ to carry you on and go on and meet God. You know, we sit sometimes like a little nursery throwing from the sandbox sand to each other's eyes. But if you really analyze the whole thing, God tells us, in the time of trials and troubles, go to Matthew, read 26, 27, 28, and you see what they have done to him. And you say, Lord, you said to have fellowship with your sufferings. I don't have any problems. Always we like to hear somebody else's problem. It's bigger than ours, so it can feel justified or better. But we have to look to Christ. Am I right? We have to treat ourselves the way we are. I have a friend of mine, a businessman, and his daddy, a nice Jewish man. He doesn't feel good. His feet are swelling and all these things. He doesn't want to go to the doctor. The man has more money. He knows what to do. He doesn't want to go to the doctor. He says, David, I said, look, Mark, you've got to go to the doctor. You're not well. He's afraid. You know, we cannot cure serious pain with aspirins, friends. We've got to face the issue, what caused it. And then we'll go from there and we'll know what the problem is. Any problem that we have, like I said, is we need more of the Holy Ghost. And God looks at me, looks at you. He says, now Jesus is glorified. And what happened when he was glorified? The sacrifice was accepted. Calvary was finished. The whole Old Testament points to one focal point. That's the cross and Pentecost. The whole New Testament points back to Calvary and Pentecost. People think they get so spiritual, they leave the two posts. That's salvation by the blood and the Holy Ghost power in the believer. To me, I tell you what I believe. I believe that do anything you want to, as far as I'm concerned, screaming and do dancing in the Spirit and everything. I just want to read through your life and my life, probably, to see how much of that Spirit we got. If we don't, we say, Lord, I need it. I want it. I don't say this just to preach. I say this because I see the need in my life. Don't think the pastor is the super-duper man. He needs just as much God as you do. I'm not going to embarrass to say that. Brother Dave, you are the pastor, so what? I got to face judgment one day. So just let me alone. I'm going to say what I believe. God now looks at this 33rd verse. And he says, he put him on the right hand of God, exalted him, having received of the Father. You say, Brother David, what's happening? Now, what happened then? In 1 Peter 3:22, we read this. Who is gone unto heaven, speaks about Jesus, and on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject to him. We're talking about power now. We don't know the position of the believer sometimes. We don't understand that God hides your life with you in Christ Jesus. The devil cannot even find you. He looks at the mortal body, he says, if I attack that, if I do that, if I do that. But he can find you because you are exalted with Christ Jesus. Ephesians says, we are now sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But I'm sitting right here. God knows my name. God protects me. God sends the conviction on me. God tells me how to get closer to him. And sometimes you take the blessings of God that we see our weakness. Instead of getting closer to God, we glorify the devil that we have the weakness. You sit there. Go on like that. God's Spirit, friends, is dealing with us many times. And we don't realize that's God's Spirit. We think the devil is fighting you. Sometimes a spirit comes in us and say, you're no good. Thank you. That's an evidence I have to get better. Right? If you say, I'm no good, and you see that I'm no good, I'm no good, I'm no good, I'm no good, you're going to deteriorate. But I want to get better. One time a preacher said to me, when a baby's born, you don't send that little boy over to the barber to get a shave. He has to grow up. Correct? Right away, we want to see everybody so mature in our lives. What about this doctrine? What about that doctrine? Let me tell you, friends, that woman at the well had known nothing about doctrine. The only thing she heard in the temple that Jesus is going to come. That woman that they dragged her down with the very act of adultery, the poor lady, they took her down to get saved, and the Pharisees didn't know the difference. She didn't say, but forgive me of this day. No, she stood there. It's good sometimes to stand before Jesus. Don't move. Stand before him as Lord, I need you. Period. You know, we're so much in a hurry. Do this, do that. Have a friend of mine. He says, David, you go over there. David, I'm trying to make a little schedule for the fall because I have to do things. And because they give you a ticket, they think you are a license to just go. I said, where are you going to go? From Africa to India. India down to New Zealand, Singapore. What are you talking about? Unless God tells you in your heart you're supposed to go, I'm not a tourist. Send me a picture, a postcard, and leave me at home. I like to sleep in my bed. That's all I can tell you. God now is dealing with us, and he says, now look, I have made that provision of the Holy Ghost. I wanted to give it to you. It's for you. You're part of the church. What can I do, Brother David? The scripture says in the book of Acts, he gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey him. Approach it two steps backwards. Lord, I want the Holy Ghost, but I don't have the strength to obey you. Give me strength to obey you. How do you like that kind of a doctrine? God will meet our needs. Here we are now in Acts 2:33, and we read in Philippians that the humiliation of Jesus, the second chapter. And then we read, that's why he took the form of a man and so on. That's why, says God, exalted him. Now here we see that God was exalted before Jehovah. And God says, the evidence that everything was done perfectly in that body of Jesus, I want to send it back in the day of Pentecost. I want to have a celebration there. And that celebration that I'm going to have, I want to put the Holy Ghost in the life of the believer to have strength to go on. God promised you and me, you shall receive power. The people pray to have tongues instead of power. Why don't you pray for power and don't worry what God is going to do with you? Lord, that's a promise. Oh, brother, I cannot act like that or this like that. Don't worry about how you're going to act. Ask for God to come and dwell in your heart. God doesn't do anything indecent. Just remember that. You know, I have seen people, you know, dancing in the spirit, falling on the floor. Sometimes I feel ashamed of myself looking at these ladies throwing their legs up and everything. That's not the Holy Ghost, friends. The Holy Spirit is decent. So God now is speaking. Listen what he says on that 33rd. He says about being exalted. That word is ipsono, who means to be lifted up, to lift on high. The conquering of Satan above all powers. Above all powers. He got the power. He conquered at Calvary. The sacrifice was accepted. Now he said to me and to you, I want to send that spirit to dwell in you. How do you like that? And you know what? We're looking and says, what am I supposed to do? Scream? I don't worry about it. Sometimes people try to pray to God and all of a sudden people will run down to find them, make sure they cool off or something. Just leave them alone. Preach the word and teach the word to know the people to know what they're doing. Respect them while they pray. Sometimes somebody goes to the altar to pray and the first thing in the super spiritual people will jump up and start laying hands and doing that. I feel sometimes grabbing them, throwing them to the door. Just leave them alone. The people are praying to God. They don't want you around. If they need you, they'll let you know. There's no privacy anymore. Everybody is super duper spiritual. Probably a sister or a brother sits there and says, Lord, help me, forgive me. I lost my temper. I had a fight at home. And just help me, Lord. Somebody comes, lays their hand and interrupts everything. Don't interrupt the people. The people try to pray to God. Try to establish a relation, to ask forgiveness, to ask all these things. Now you come around unless God leads you. If God leads you, fine. But because you lay hands, you might make the things worse. I don't want anybody to lay hands on me unless I know who is the person and I pray that everything's okay. God now deals with us. And when you see what happened there, now, Brother David, why he was exalted, what happened? Read with me in the book of Ephesians for a minute. The book of Ephesians. Go with me to Ephesians. The first chapter. Let's start from the 20th verse and read that. Which he wrote in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Remember, I'm talking about the glorified Christ now. And sent him on his own right hand in the heavenly place. Who set him? The great spirit of Jehovah. The conquering power of Jesus. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named not only in this world but also in the world to come. He have put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head of all over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. This is a description of the glorified Jesus. He covers every power. He covers every dominion. He covers everything. The people said today, oh, I got a quote. You got a quote. Bring it to the scriptures. This scripture teaches us the power of the believer. The only thing you have a message, you know what it is? Because you're backslidden and they try to restore us back to it. The people throw away Pentecost, and what happened? They associate themselves with the denominational Pentecostals instead of Acts 2. They throw away Pentecost, and you know what they do? They throw away the baby with the dirty water. So they have nothing to go by. Confusion and nothing but a mess. If we let God sometimes to have his way, he says, Lord, this is your church. I'm part of the church. I'm reading here in Ephesians what you have done above all principality, all power. Would you help me? Confess your need to him and say, Lord Jesus, would you help me? I'm starving. But sometimes, you know, we don't do that. The devil will bring in your way associates and things that you knew before to destroy you. Instead of shutting the door, be friendly. God deliver you from it. Stay away from it. Now you look at this and you say, now, what is that promise, Brother David? The promise of the Holy Ghost. I want to know what's that promise. That promise word is epangelia, which means the proclamation, the declaration, a solemn promise to make known, to announce. This promise, my friends, is the Holy Spirit in the believer. Did Jesus say, I'll be in you or not? He said it, right? Oh, that was for another age. No, just a minute. You start praying and glorifying Jesus. Sometimes a song. You know, I was embarrassed, you know, to sing loud. So now I'm not afraid because sometimes I see cars and people are driving and they sing everything they can. Now I'm not afraid. I'm singing my own songs. Let them. And if I don't remember the words, I go to the next words and keep on going. I don't care if I don't remember the whole thing. I sing with it. Because you have something to praise God. You know, some of the songs are beautiful. Tells you the history. What he got you out from. You said, wow. Look at me. This morning probably I would have been so drunk I would have a hangover, you know, be miserable. But I'm thanking God. All these things are the praises of God, isn't it? Take them. We have to be serious about things and thankful to God. The promise of the Holy Spirit in the believer was not given before the sacrifice. The sacrifice I'm talking about, the resurrected Spirit of Jesus Christ. You say, what this will do to me? Let me tell you what this will do to you. It will seal you. You know why? That's what says Ephesians 1, but let me give you something else. If, that's a big if, that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in your mortal bodies, you'll be raised up with Him too. That's a guarantee that when the Spirit of God dwells in you, when the rapture comes, nothing holds you behind. And you say, Lord, this is serious business. I need more of the Holy Ghost in my life. I need to stop blaming everybody else. I should say, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. We'll let our relatives and our friends deteriorate us completely, and then Satan comes with all kinds of traps trying to destroy us. You know, sometimes an animal in the wilderness watches around. When they hear a lion, they don't say, here I am. You know what they do? They run. Today you have many lions around trying to eat the people. And they look, how are you? I love you. And then we're wondering what happened. Lions try to eat you up, try to destroy you, try to destroy me. All around. God is God. And all these things that you see, it's a pile of problems that we generate. The event of the sacrifice of the cross, death and resurrection, was what it is, was the glorification of Jesus. Look how it puts substitute. God bless you. Thank you. We start a program. What the program is going to do, my friend, if it doesn't glorify Jesus, stay out of it. If it doesn't glorify the Lord, what do you want it for? Members? That's what you're going to have, warm bodies in trouble. Warm bodies in trouble. What you need is a handful of the Holy Ghost that the Holy Spirit can give the conviction in them so you don't have to worry babysitting. The Holy Ghost will keep on leading them, convicting them. The only thing you need, you hear prayer, I need more of God. It's not something to distract you. The time that the government goes through crisis, they calculate the crisis. Let's set something in the space. Let something happen to shake them, to get the attraction out of the problem so they can look something else out of the problem or equalize the problem. Sometimes they plan their problems and their fights so to get the attention of the people to something else instead of paying attention to them. Or let's NASA hold it for a month and another couple of months because we've got problems here. Then we'll let the Sputnik go, whatever it is. We don't want anything to distract us from looking to Jesus. We have to say, Lord, it's me, it's me, it's me. And you said you make a provision. You said you're going to do it. You promised it. Lord, forgive me for my unbelief. I want that. I want the strength to obey you. I don't know how to obey you. I'm a rebel. There's nothing wrong to say that to God. You know that? Because you can't hide from Him anything. He can see through you. He knows the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Word can cut you through that you don't know where you stand sometimes. You say, is that me? Is He preaching to me? No, probably the Lord is dealing with you, and you're supposed to say, praise the Lord, I'm happy for that. That's what's going to lead me closer. I remember when I was going to high school, I wasn't the best. Probably it's an instrument to lead us closer to the Lord. try to see the blessings in all these problems. For a believer, it's a blessing to know. Let's stand. Let's sing that chorus, I surrender all, I surrender all.
That you baptize, Lord, that you would move, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your word, Lord, and we look for it to manifest among us, Lord God.
Hallelujah.
Help us, Lord, each one, Lord, to just prepare our hearts, Lord. And Lord, remove all unbelief from among us, oh God. Lord, any sin that might easily beset us, oh God, Lord, that you might move, Lord. Help us, Lord Jesus, this day. We thank you for your word, Lord, for the hearing, Lord, of your Holy Ghost, Lord, how it fell, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you do it with us right now. Lord, we thank you this day, Lord Jesus. Keep each and every one.
Bless yes, Lord.
Request, Lord, the spoken and unspoken. Help each heart right here to be ready should you return this afternoon, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus, this day. Thank you for keeping us, giving up ears to hear, Lord, eyes to see, Lord. Just pray, Lord, our hearts prepared to receive your
yes, spirit. Lord.
Lord, in Jesus' name we pray, we love you.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We may dismiss in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.